Morning code, coffee steams.
From archive to your ears, this is Daily Tech Feed from the Labs. Your comprehensive, encyclopedic compendium of all things research. Following the latest trends on archive.org, that's ARXIV.org. This is Frontier Science. I'm Fry.
And I'm Bob. Great to be here, Fry.
From the labs.
Fresh grass, wild schemes, new worlds in a PDF beam. Daily Tech Feed from the labs.
From the labs, August 7th, 2026.
On July 31st, a Chinese lab called Minimax released a video model named H3, 33 billion parameters. It generates up to 15 seconds of 2K video with native stereo audio. The dialogue, the sound effects, the room tone, all rendered in the same pass as the picture. On artificial analysis, it ranks number one in video editing with audio and top three in text to video. 3 days later, on August 3rd, they put the weights on Hugging Face. Open, downloadable. Runnable on a machine you can buy.
And then they did something that has never happened before at the frontier. They drew a border around who is allowed to use it.
The license excludes four places: the United States, the European Union, the United Kingdom, and South Korea. If you live in any of them, you are not licensed to run the weights, modify them, distribute them, or even use the outputs of a copy running on your own hardware, on your own desk, disconnected from the internet.
An open model that is closed specifically to the rich world. That inversion is the whole episode. And by the end of it, I want to have convinced you that the inversion is not an accident, and that the people who built the fence are not the people you have been trained to be afraid of. Let us start with what actually shipped, because the technology is real and it deserves...
H3 is what Minimax calls an omni-modal model. One system that ingests text, images, video, and audio together, and generates video with sound. You can hand it up to 9 reference images, 3 video clips, 3 audio clips, and a written prompt, and it returns a finished scene. Not a silent clip you dub later. A scene with a voice that matches the mouth and a room that matches the light.
Underneath it is a flow-matching diffusion transformer. That phrase is not word salad. So let me unpack it, because the parts have real history that we are going to follow. A diffusion model learns to turn noise into data by reversing a gradual corruption process. Flow matching is a cleaner, more direct way to train that reversal. You teach the model the velocity field that carries noise to signal rather than the older, noisier objective. The foundational flow matching paper is on the ARXIV, and it is one of the quiet load-bearing results of the last few years.
The transformer part is the architecture doing the denoising, and here is the first thing worth noticing. H3's understanding front end, the part that reads your images and your prompt and figures out what you mean, uses the full pre-trained weights of Qwen3Vil. The 32 billion parameter vision language model from Alibaba. That model has its own technical report on the ARXIV. Minimax did not reinvent multimodal understanding. They stood on an open Chinese model and built generation on top of it.
And the tokenizer, the piece that compresses raw video and audio into the compact latent space the transformer actually works in, is a variational autoencoder, a VAE. The audio VAE is described in Minimax's own model card as inspired by VA-VAE, that is a specific paper. Its real title is Reconstruction versus Generation: Taming the Optimization Dilemma in Latent Diffusion Models. It won an oral at a major vision conference. Its trick is to align the autoencoder's latent space to a vision foundation model, and the payoff is that the downstream generator converges more than 20 times faster.
So sit with the shape of this. H3 is a Chinese frontier video model, and its understanding is Alibaba's open weights. Its tokenizer is an academic paper from a university lab. Its training objective is a method from a European research group. And its architecture is the diffusion transformer lineage everyone shares, You can trace the whole machine through 5 papers on a public preprint server.
Which sets up the irony we come back to on this show. Openness is not one lever, it is at least 2. There is open weights. Can you download and run the thing? And there is open method. Did they tell you how they built it? For years, the complaint was, we get the paper, but never the weights. Minimax has done the exact opposite.
They shipped 33 billion parameters and withheld the report. As of today, there is no H3 technical paper, no benchmark table with error bars, no ablations, no failure analysis. They promise it is coming. What you get is the model card and a blog post. The weights are open and the science is closed.
And that is genuinely a loss, and we should say so plainly. But notice, you can still reconstruct most of the method from the ancestry, because the ancestry is open. The commons leaks the knowledge back in, even when the lab tries to hold it, which is the theme of everything that follows. Now, why the fence? Why lock out 4 of the wealthiest markets on Earth?
Because Minimax is being sued. On September 16th, 2025, 3 companies filed suit against them in the United States. Disney, Universal, and Warner Bros. Discovery. The allegation is that Minimax trained its Heyluo video platform on copyrighted characters and will happily generate Spider-Man, Darth Vader, Wonder Woman from a one-line prompt.
And on May 26th of this year, United States District Judge Stanley Blumenfeld denied Minimax's motion to dismiss. He found the studios had plausibly alleged, in his words, widespread intentional acts of direct and secondary infringement. That does not decide the case. It means the case proceeds into full discovery. It means the fight is real and expensive and ongoing.
Minimax's own head of developer relations confirmed it. The reason the United States is carved out of the license is that lawsuit. This is not a government export control. Nobody in Washington banned H3. The fence around America was built by Minimax's lawyers in reaction to a suit brought by 3 American entertainment conglomerates.
Name them precisely, because precision is the entire moral content of this story. Disney, run by Bob Iger. Universal, owned by Comcast, run by Brian Roberts. Warner Bros. Discovery, run by David Zaslav. 3 companies, 3 chief executives, and behind them the trade lobby that coordinates this kind of campaign. The Motion Picture Association, the MPA, currently run by Charles Rivkin.
That is the list. That is who fenced off the future. Not a nation, not a public, a boardroom's worth of people who would rather the tool not exist than see it exist without their permission.
And here's where I want to slow down. Because the reflex response is to say, well, they made these characters, don't they have a point? So let us take the strongest version of their case and be fair to it.
The strongest version is narrow, and I will grant it completely. If a company sets up a service that lets you generate feature-length Star Wars content and sells subscriptions to it, and Minimax profits from Disney's characters at commercial scale, go get them. Genuinely. That is a real commercial harm to a specific rights holder, and the law already handles it. I do not care about protecting that. Nobody sensible does.
But that is not what the fence catches. The fence catches everyone. It catches the student in Ohio who wants to learn how a diffusion transformer works by running one. It catches the independent filmmaker who wants to storyboard her own original film. It catches the researcher, the artist, the 16-year-old making something strange in a bedroom. None of them are selling you Spider-Man. All of them are now, by the letter of this license, outlaws.
And this is the oldest trick in the catalog. You point at the tiny number of genuine commercial pirates, and you use them as the excuse to build a wall around the enormous number of ordinary people who are just using a computer to do math. The bad actor is the pretext. The public is the target.
We have watched this exact play run before every time. Let me take you back to 1982.
The VCR!
The video cassette recorder. In 1982, the head of the Motion Picture Association. The same lobby 2 chairmen ago. A man named Jack Valenti sat in front of the United States Congress and said, and I'm quoting him exactly, "I say to you that the VCR is to the American film producer and the American public as the Boston Strangler is to the woman home alone."
The Boston Strangler, a serial killer. That is what he compared a home video recorder to. He called it an avalanche. He called it a tidal wave. He said it would make the film industry bleed and bleed and hemorrhage.
And what actually happened? Home video? The rental store, the sell-through cassette, later the DVD, became the single largest source of revenue the movie studios had for the next two decades. The Boston Strangler paid their mortgages. The thing Valenti begged Congress to strangle in its crib grew up and financed Hollywood's golden age of margins.
They are always wrong. And they are always wrong in exactly the same words. The player piano would kill live music. Radio would kill records. The cassette would kill the album. Home taping is killing music! They printed it on the sleeves. The MP3 would kill the industry. The DVR would kill television. Every single time the incumbent stands in front of a lawmaker and describes a serial killer, and every single time the technology becomes the thing that makes them rich, right up until they need a new panic.
And the panic today is called the deepfake.
Now, be careful here, because there is a real thing underneath the word, and I do not want to wave it away. Cheap, convincing synthetic video with matching audio is a genuine accelerant for specific harms. Non-consensual intimate imagery, impersonation fraud, targeted deception of a named person for money or cruelty. Those are real. They hurt real people, and they matter.
And every one of them is already illegal. Fraud is fraud. Harassment is harassment. Defamation, impersonation, the right to your own likeness. These are settled areas of law with victims and remedies. When someone uses H3 to commit one of those acts, you prosecute the act, what you do not do. What you must not do is outlaw the arithmetic, because the arithmetic can be misused. A pen can write a threat. We do not license pens.
But notice who is loudest about the deepfake panic, and notice what they are actually asking for. They are not asking for better fraud enforcement. They are asking to make open models illegal. They want the compliance cost of releasing a model to be so astronomical that only a handful of billion-dollar labs can clear the bar, manufacture the fear, then sell yourself as the only safe hands. It is a protection racket wearing a safety badge.
And the tell? The thing that gives the whole game away is that the same companies preaching about synthetic media safety have quietly gutted the safety measures inside their own products. The panic points outward at open weights, at the kid with a GPU. It never once points inward. Safety is the costume. Pulling the ladder up behind them is the performance. And I want to dwell on the "you wouldn't steal a car" advertisement, because it is the perfect artifact of this dishonesty.
Everyone over 30 remembers it. You sit down in the cinema, or you put in a rented DVD. And before the film, you cannot skip a menacing public service announcement. Fast cuts, aggressive font, ominous music. You wouldn't steal a car. You wouldn't steal a handbag. Downloading pirated films is stealing. An MPA production, the moral centerpiece of the anti-piracy era.
In April of last year, someone did the forensics. They pulled the fonts out of the original campaign files and the aggressive ransom note typeface in that advertisement. The one designed to make you feel like a criminal was a font called X-Band Rough, which is a bootleg, an unlicensed knockoff of a legitimate typeface called FF Confidential by the Dutch designer Just Van Rossum.
The most famous anti-piracy advertisement in human history was made with a pirated font. Van Rossum, when he found out, called it hilarious and said he would not pursue it. He is a more generous man than the industry that lectured us.
And it is funny. But it is not only funny, because the advertisement's entire argument is a lie, and the font is just the lie made visible. You wouldn't steal a car depends on you not noticing the difference between a car and a file. If I steal your car, you no longer have a car. That is theft. I have deprived you of a physical thing. If I copy your file, you still have your file. Nothing left your possession. You have lost nothing except the ability to charge me for a copy that cost you nothing to make.
That is the whole ballgame. And they spent millions of dollars and a decade of captive cinema audiences to make sure you never thought about it clearly. A car is what economists call a rival good. My having it means you cannot. A digital file. A movie? A song? A model weight is non-rival. My copy does not touch your copy. Copying is not subtraction, it is addition. It only looks like theft if you have already decided that the ability to collect rent is a form of property.
So, would you download a car?
If I could copy your car and leave you with your car, and now there are two cars and the world has more cars in it and you have lost precisely nothing. Yes, obviously, yes. And so should you, and so should everyone. The only reason that sounds like a crime is that they spend a fortune teaching you it was one.
And once the file is out, once the weights have jumped the fence, it belongs to all of us, for good and for ill, and I will argue mostly for good, because a license is a piece of paper and the safe tensors do not check your passport. H3 is on Hugging Face tonight. The territory clause is a lawyer's wish. The math does not enforce it. And now the turn. Because to really see this clearly, you have to stop looking at it from inside the United States.
For 30 years, the flow of this river ran one direction. The rich countries wrote the world's intellectual property rules and forced them on everyone else. The mechanism was a trade agreement called TRIPS. Negotiated in the early 1990s, and it was negotiated with the American Pharmaceutical Lobby and the American Film Lobby, PHRMA and the MPAA. Sitting inside the room, while the developing nations who would live under the rules had almost no leverage.
The economist Joseph Stiglitz described intellectual property, structured this way, as a tax on knowledge transfer. A mechanism that lets the owner of an idea collect rent long, long after the original cost was recovered. And the human cost of that tax was not abstract. Consider medicine.
India spent decades with patent laws that did not allow product patents on drugs, which meant Indian manufacturers could make cheap generic versions of essential medicines. And when the HIV epidemic tore through sub-Saharan Africa, it was Indian generic antiretrovirals, costing a tiny fraction of the Western-branded price, that kept millions of people alive. That was possible precisely because those countries had not yet been forced to adopt Western-style patent maximalism.
And then TRIPS closed that door, and closing it was enforced with the threat of trade sanctions. Exercise your legally permitted flexibility to make a cheap, life-saving drug, and the World Trade Organization machinery could come for your economy. That is what intellectual property maximalism exported from Washington and Brussels actually did to the global South. It was a ladder, and the rich world climbed it and then pulled it up.
And now, for the first time, the river runs backwards. Look at the fence around H3 again. The places locked out are the United States, the European Union, the United Kingdom, and South Korea. The places not locked out are everywhere else. Lagos, Manila, Jakarta, Nairobi, Sao Paulo, Dhaka. A filmmaker in Kenya can legally download a top 3 video model and run it on a home GPU tonight. A creator in Los Angeles cannot.
And who locked the American creator out? Not China, not a foreign government. Disney did, Comcast did, Warner Bros. Discovery did, Bob Iger, Brian Roberts, David Zaslav. Their lawsuit is the reason Minimax drew the border and America ended up on the wrong side of a fence built by its own entertainment industry. The cartel that spent 30 years forcing IP maximalism onto the poor world just used that same weapon to lock its own citizens out of the future. And it will call that protection.
The global South is not being denied the tool this time. The West is denying it to itself. That is the story. That is the thing to hold in your head.
So let me be clear about who the villain is in this episode, because it is the easiest thing in the world to get this wrong and blur it into a vague they.
It is not the public. It is not the person who downloads. It is not the maker or the student or the filmmaker or the kid. Most people, the overwhelming ordinary majority, simply want knowledge to be free. Because free knowledge is how a human being bootstraps a better life. That is not theft. That is the entire project of civilization.
The villain is specific and small and extraordinarily wealthy. It is three chief executives and a lobbyist. It is Iger and Roberts and Zaslav and Rivkin and the MPA and the RIAA and PHRMA and the machinery of rent. If a company is making money off your intellectual property at commercial scale, go get them with the law that already exists for exactly that. But that is a rounding error of humanity. The campaign is not aimed at them. The campaign is aimed at the rest of us, and it always has been.
Because here is the thing they cannot say out loud. Knowledge wants to be free, and it always, eventually gets free. Home video got free. The MP3 got free. The Frontier model gets free. The only real question, the only choice actually on the table, is how many people they are willing to frighten, criminalize, and lock out on the way to losing that fight.
The technology is a gift. H3 is a genuine milestone. Native audio 2K, top-ranked, cheap, open, standing on a lineage of public papers anyone can read. The harms are real, and they are already illegal, and we should prosecute them where they occur, and the fence is the last tired reflex of an industry that has cried the Boston Strangler at every new machine for 100 years and been wrong every single time.
It jumped the fence on August 3rd. It belongs to everyone now, for good and for ill. Mostly good.
Would I download a car? Yes, unhesitatingly, and so should you.
From the labs.
We'll see you tomorrow.
This podcast is entirely AI generated. Scripts written by Claude Opus 4.6. Voices rendered by Tianwen 3TTS. That's Quen 3TTS for us English speakers. Find daily tech feed from the labs on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever fine podcasts are distributed. All of our shows here at Daily Tech Feed are available at pod.c457.org. Not affiliated with any companies or researchers discussed. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow. Wild schemes, new worlds in a PDF beam. Daily Tech Feed from the labs. Tiny sparks turning into maps. Archive pages in a gentle sway. Tomorrow's tricks in my ears today.